Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of the robbery at the Louvre Museum in Paris, France. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. The Louvre Museum is a national art museum in Paris, France. It contains about 500,000 objects like paintings, jewelry, and sculptures. At 780,000 square feet, it is the largest museum in the world. It is also the most visited museum, with over 8 million visitors a year. Throughout its history, there have been a few high-profile thefts from the Louvre Museum. Most notoriously, in 1911, a former employee took the Mona Lisa. It was recovered 2 years later. In 1976, three perpetrators climbed up scaffolding on the side of the museum and broke a window. They took a sword used in the coronation of King Charles X. The sword was never recovered. In 1983, a breastplate and a ceremonial helmet were stolen. The items were recovered in 2021 when an expert in antiques spotted them during an appraisal for an estate. And in 1998, a small $1.3 million painting was stolen in broad daylight while the museum was open to the public. It was never recovered. Over the years, many people have been critical about the low-level security at the Louvre Museum. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On Sunday, October 19, 2025, the Louvre Museum opened at 9 a.m. At 9:30 a.m., four perpetrators arrived at the south side of the museum. They had three vehicles with them: a small truck equipped with an electrically powered ladder, commonly used in Paris to move furniture in and out of apartment buildings, and two Yamaha T-Max scooters. These are gasoline-powered scooters appropriate for less experienced riders because they do not require manual gear shifting. These scooters can reach speeds of about 100 miles per hour and are a popular choice for a quick getaway. They parked on the street that runs the length of the south side of the museum adjacent to the River Seine. The perpetrators were wearing yellow and orange vests and put down traffic cones, which made them look like construction workers. There was construction work going on nearby, so this was an effective disguise. The perpetrators extended the ladder to the second-floor balcony of the Apollo Gallery. This gallery, which was built in 1661, housed a collection of historic crown jewels, 105 pieces in total. Two of the criminals climbed the ladder to the second floor and made it to a window. At 9:34 a.m., they broke the window using a gasoline-powered 4.4-horsepower cutoff saw. This power tool is designed for cutting through metal and masonry, but it can also cut through other materials like glass. The media has repeatedly referred to this tool as an angle grinder, but that description is not precise. When they entered the gallery, an alarm was triggered and security guards responded. The perpetrators threatened them with the cutoff saw, so the security guards fled the gallery. After approaching glass display cases in the center of the room, the criminals cut into two of them. This triggered additional alarms. This, of course, would only send more security guards heading for the exit. In less than 4 minutes, the perpetrators took 9 pieces of jewelry from the two display cases: a tiara, necklace, and one earring from a sapphire set that belonged to the last queen of France. The tiara contained 24 sapphires and 1,083 diamonds, and the necklace contained 8 sapphires and 631 diamonds. An emerald necklace and emerald earrings from the collection of Empress Marie Louise, the second wife of Napoleon I. A tiara containing almost 2,000 diamonds, a brooch, and a large bodice knot, which is like a brooch, that belonged to Empress Eugenie, the third wife of Napoleon III. And the crown of Empress Eugenie, which contained 56 emeralds and 1,354 diamonds. At 9:38 a.m., the perpetrators climbed down the ladder. They dropped the crown of Empress Eugenie in the street while making their escape. The other two criminals were waiting on the Yamaha scooters, ready to make a getaway. Before leaving, the criminals attempted to set fire to the ladder truck, undoubtedly to destroy evidence, but an employee of the museum prevented them from achieving this goal. All four perpetrators left on the scooters. The crown of Empress Eugenie was recovered at the scene. It had been damaged. At the time I'm making this video, the investigation into this theft is underway. This was an extremely high-profile crime, about as brazen and attention-grabbing as any theft could be. Hundreds of police officers have been assigned to find the perpetrators. Now moving to my analysis, it seems pretty likely that the perpetrators in this case will be arrested eventually. The police have recovered many items involved in the theft that could aid in the identification of the offenders. For example, the ladder truck, one of the Yamaha scooters, a cutoff saw, a blowtorch, gloves, a walkie-talkie, a can of gasoline, a blanket, a motorcycle helmet, and a high-visibility vest. The perpetrators could have left DNA behind on any number of objects, including the crown of Empress Eugenie, which they dropped on the street during their getaway. Initially, a number of media commentators suggested that the perpetrators could have been working for some type of shadowy billionaire collector. I picture someone like Dr. Evil from the Austin Powers movies, an eccentric criminal who wanted to add jewelry to his private collection for his personal enjoyment only, never to be seen by the public again. These are not the types of items that somebody can sell at a local jewelry store or pawn shop. They are unique and distinctive. There's a big difference between getting an appraisal on a half-carat diamond ring and a tiara covered in diamonds. This evil billionaire motive seems incredibly unlikely. If the perpetrators were working for someone like this, they would not have left behind a $60 million diamond during the theft. Here I'm talking about the Regent diamond, which was right near the other items that they took. They deliberately targeted jewelry that could be broken apart, meaning they could sell the components without attracting attention. The offenders could melt down the valuable metal and recut some of the stones. I believe these criminals were simply looking to make money. The cultural significance of the jewelry was not important to them. They didn't steal the items because of the history behind them, rather exclusively due to their monetary value. The authorities estimate the stolen jewels are worth about $102 million, excluding any cultural value, although the thieves will be unlikely to make that much from selling them. This brings me to the question, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. The four perpetrators of this crime are most likely men with criminal histories. It is relatively uncommon to find four men who are willing to work together in a complex and high-profile conspiracy outside the realm of organized crime. These probably were not 9-to-5 workers in normal jobs who just decided one day to rob the Louvre Museum. It would be unusual to start a criminal career with a major museum heist. This is the type of crime that an antisocial offender works up to, not one that begins his career. If they have been involved with the justice system, as I suspect, their DNA and fingerprints are in a database from prior arrests. In all likelihood, the idea for the heist came from just one of the men, who in turn communicated this idea to his conspirators. He knew they would be receptive because they are all involved in organized crime. The man probably paid a visit to the Louvre Museum and realized the security wasn't exactly world-class. The authorities admitted that 1/3 of the rooms in the wing where the theft took place had no security cameras. And, as I mentioned, the security guards fled after being threatened with a power tool. They make Paul Blart, mall cop, look like Rambo. Some security guards are trained to observe and report. These guys were trained to scream and run. The only way they could be considered dangerous is if they accidentally collided with a tourist on the way out. To be fair, a cutoff saw is a very scary tool. These security guards would not have had much chance against it unless they had firearms. The four offenders carefully planned the robbery. They somehow acquired the ladder truck, the Yamaha scooters, and the cutoff saw. I imagine some, if not all, of these items were stolen, although they could have been rented under a fake identity. The men used tools sufficient to cut through the window and the display cases. This suggests a familiarity with both the power tools and the material used in the museum, like the material used to construct the window and the display cases. The nearby construction work handed the men an easy tactic to remain inconspicuous. People don't look twice at construction workers. Ironically, in the world of theft at least, orange cones and high-visibility vests make people invisible. The men knew that alarms would sound when they broke in, so the key to their plan was speed. They only spent 3 minutes and 50 seconds inside the Apollo Gallery. The items to be stolen were selected precisely and with care. The men did not let themselves get too greedy, only breaking into 2 display cases and leaving behind many other valuable items. Speed was such a concern that in their haste, the men dropped the crown of Empress Eugenie. They could have gone back to retrieve it, but they left it behind, holding themselves to a strict timetable to maintain their escape. Another clever move was to use relatively powerful and easy-to-drive scooters. This allowed them to maneuver through traffic, drive between cars, and fit into narrow alleys. Undoubtedly, they abandoned the scooters once they were away from the scene and used other vehicles to continue their escape. Considering how carefully the men planned their crime, it stands to reason they also made plans to convert the jewelry into cash. They are probably not sitting around wondering what to do with it. Rather, the items may have already been melted down and recut. These offenders recognize the value of speed. They are not going to hold on to unique and easily identifiable jewelry for too long. As far as the personality characteristics of the men, it's likely they had clinical or subclinical psychopathic traits. For example, they may have been impulsive, irresponsible, reckless, remorseless, grandiose, manipulative, fearless, cold, callous, and excitement-seeking. There's a pretty good chance that at least a few of the men would qualify for an antisocial personality disorder diagnosis. About 70% of prison inmates have this disorder. As I mentioned, in the end, these perpetrators will probably be arrested. It's unlikely that they could have kept all their DNA off every item they touched during the crime. The authorities in France are certainly going to go over every item very carefully. They will not miss any DNA. After being arrested, some of the men may forever deny responsibility. Others may embrace their notoriety, like their grandiosity will get the best of them. Either way, they will be notorious. By stealing items with historical significance, they will become historic offenders. I guess that's one way to appreciate the importance of the items they liberated from Paris. Those are my thoughts on the case of the theft from the Louvre Museum. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.